Praise God. Praise God tonight. Merry Christmas, church. It is a blessing to be in the house of the Lord together tonight on this special occasion to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open them up to Matthew chapter 1. Tonight, I'll be reading from Matthew 1, verses 21 to 23. Again, that's Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 to 23. I'll be reading from the ESV. The Word of God says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Amen. So, this passage that we just read is a famous one that we come back to time and time again, especially this time of year. And we see here in Matthew 1, at the Annunciation of Jesus to Joseph, there are two names presented for this baby boy that's announced. The first of which is Jesus, the one we always say and we refer to our Savior by, Jesus. Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh saves. And this name that is commanded to Joseph and to Mary to give to this newborn boy tells them why this baby boy was sent into the world. Why is he here? What is God going to do with him? And it was to bring salvation to his people from their sins. But there's another name presented, Emmanuel, a name that's particularly special to us here at Emmanuel Church, which means God with us. And in this name, we see so beautifully captured the divinity and the humanity of Jesus. You have God, there's his divinity, and with us, his humanity. He became like us. He came in the flesh down to our level. And it captures the incarnation so beautifully and yet so simply. Three words in the English, God with us. And although it is simple in word, it is difficult for us to comprehend and understand with our minds the fact that God, who is superior, who is almighty, is capable of coming down to our level, coming down to be a human. And for many, this truth is a stumbling block. How can God, who is almighty, come down to the level of mere people? If Jesus is almighty, then how does it make sense that he could be both human and almighty? And this is a stumbling block for many. And Tim Keller, in one of his books, Hidden Christmas, makes the claim that this isn't an argument against the mighty power of Jesus. It's actually an argument in favor of the mighty power of Jesus. And he presents it so simply and so clearly, and he says, the fact that God is superior and he is capable of coming down to us who are inferior shows that he is superior. Think of it this way. If you have children or you work with children or any time you've interacted with a child, you who are a superior human being in intellect, in physical stature, when you talk to a child, you go down to their level, many times physically, but always intellectually and emotionally, to relate with them, connect with them, help them understand that you care about them. And this is exactly what God did. He humbled himself to our level that we may be saved. And it's this humility of God, this humility in Jesus, that is one of the great mysteries of our faith, as 1 Timothy 3:16 talks about, where it says, he was manifested in the flesh, and is talking about the mystery of our faith. And this is a mystery to us because it's so contrary to everything we understand and know about royalty and power and omnipotence and might and even divinity, the way we've defined it as human beings. It goes completely against what we know. We expect those who are in power and royal and mighty to stay up in their ivory tower, looking down on those lowly people, never truly caring about them. But God said, no, that's not how I'm going to do things. I'm going to come down to your level. And this is the way God has worked all throughout history. You think back to the Old Testament, using people like Abraham and Sarah to begin the line through which the Savior of the world would come. Or you think of David, this lowly shepherd boy, the least of his brothers, at least by human perspective. God said, I want to use him because I see his heart. You look at the outside appearance, but I look at the heart. And the Christmas story is no different. In the same way, God said, I'm coming down to your level. I'm working from a place of humility in Jesus to bring salvation to all mankind. And I want to just highlight a few of the aspects of Christmas, the details of Christmas that we so often refer to that clearly highlight the humility of Jesus and show us exactly what the Christmas story is about. And we take these details of the Christmas story and we turn them into symbols. And I just want to reflect on a couple of them so that they don't become normal to us, because it's not normal to us how God worked. If you think of the city, the town, not us, you can't call it a city, of Nazareth, this small town where God decides to go to find this girl, this lowly town of Nazareth that has no meaning. If you weren't a Jew, you wouldn't even know where this town was. And he goes to Nazareth, and we see one of the great ironic statements in Scripture when talking about Nazareth in John 1:46. It's after Jesus is in is starting his ministry, and he calls Philip, and Philip goes to Nathanael and he says, come look, we've found the one who Moses in the law and the prophets spoke about. It's Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Oh, how he would take back those words very soon. Or you think about Mary, this humble, lowly, teenage, peasant girl who had nothing to offer except herself. God said, I'm going to bring my son into the world through her. Well, maybe you think, well, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, this great city of David. But not really, right? He wasn't born in a palace, not even in an inn. He was born in a dirty manger, surrounded by animals, with a donkey as a midwife and a sheep as a nurse. That's how Jesus came into this world, in this humble manner. So why do we care? Why do we talk about this 2,000 years later? And the answer is simple. Because Jesus brought those people, those places, those things into his story. And that's why we reflect on it now. That's why in Luke 1, Mary can say, all generations will call me blessed. Why? Because Jesus came into her life. Or the town of Nazareth, before, the Pharisees and religious leaders used it as a way to degrade Jesus, as a sign of disgrace. Oh, it's just Jesus of Nazareth. No rabbi can come from Nazareth. He's from Nazareth. Don't worry about him. And yet, after his death and resurrection, in Mark 16, verse 6, the women go to anoint him, and they find that he's not there, and the angel says, do not be alarmed, you seek who? Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, he has risen, he is not here, see the place where they laid him. This term of Nazareth that was used as something of disgrace towards Jesus, he turned into something that would bring glory to God. Or this manger scene, the nativity scene that we see all over the place. It wasn't anything special. And yet today, 2,000 years later, in one of the most affluent societies in all of history, we use it to decorate our houses. Because Jesus brought redemption to these people and these things and these places simply by making them part of his story. In Matthew chapter 1, where we just read, the book begins with this ancestry and this lineage of Jesus, starting from Abraham, working all the way down to Jesus. And in those days, an ancestry and a lineage was something to be proud of. It was like a resume. I'm from the tribe of Judah. I'm from the line of David. It was something to hang your hat on, something to brag about and tell people about. But if you look closely, if you read Matthew chapter 1 and you look at the ancestry that Matthew presents, he doesn't present it in a prestigious or honorable way. It's the line of Jesus, and yet he presents things like Judah and Tamar. Judah, who hired a prostitute, Tamar, who pretended to be a prostitute out of desperation for children and committed incest, a disgrace against God. He includes people like Rahab, a prostitute, or Ruth, a Moabitess from a pagan people who's not even a Jew, and he includes women. In those days, you wouldn't include women in a family line. Or even David. The way he presents David is as David who begat Solomon by Uriah's wife, it says. Why would Matthew include that detail if he's trying to present something honorable? He's not. He's showing that Jesus came through a line of sinful people, of outcasts, people who didn't belong, people who had nothing to offer. But the reason we talk about it today, the reason we consider it a great family line, an honorable thing, is because of the last name that's presented in that lineage, which is Jesus. You see, he changes who we are. He changes our destiny. He gives us value and significance. And tonight, I'm telling you, I'm reminding us that you can be part of the story of Jesus. What a blessing, what a thing to celebrate on this Christmas Eve, that you can have significance and eternal life in Jesus. And you might not be written down on a scroll or in a book for billions of people to talk about thousands of years later like we are today, but I have something even better. When you put your faith and your hope in Jesus, when you trust in him, when he comes into your heart and you become part of his story, your name is written down in the book of life. And ultimately, that's what we celebrate here tonight, right? That our name is written down in the book of life for all eternity, that we become part of his family. You see, it looks like Jesus became part of the line of Abraham, but really, they became part of his family. And we become part of his family. Galatians 4, 4-5 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." Redemption means we are brought into his family as sons and daughters of the Most High. And when Emmanuel becomes a reality to you and to me, when you understand in your heart, even when you can't explain it with your words, but you put your hope, you put your trust, you put your faith in Jesus, you become part of his family. That is redemption. That is what the Christmas story is all about. And we, as a human race, have been redeemed because Jesus became part of our story and he welcomed us into his family. So I remind us tonight, you can't do anything to redeem yourself. And even better news, there is nothing that you have done that is too great that Jesus can't redeem you from. So when you put your trust in him, you will experience redemption. You will experience Emmanuel, God with us, God with you. So only then can we go through the Christmas season with true hope, joy, peace, and gratitude. Because we know Jesus. May God help us all experience the truth and redeeming power of Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.